Brilliant. Good morning, everyone. I feel like I want to test everyone that was here yesterday. Has anyone been practicing? I actually went to sleep trying to remember all the actions. Oh no, that's my favourite. Shall we do a bit of trans? For anyone who wasn't here, this was our favourite. We go, transfiguration. Isn't that just awesome? If you don't remember anything else, I think we'll remember that one. And the dove one for the baptised by Jesus. I like that one. That's a good one. So maybe we'll test you every week on a few more actions and see how we do. But do you know, yesterday was a brilliant day. It was a great day of, looking at the whole of the New Testament, which was awesome. If you weren't there, don't worry. Do you know what? We'll just have to do another one. That's all. We'll just have to do another one. And if you went, you can go again. Oh, look, I love it. Larissa and Edie, they're doing it. That was counting the loss. No, counting the cost, seeking the lost. And there's lots of this, first journey, lots of walking your fingers, like that one. Law. Okay, yeah, look, we're getting carried away now. Stop, because I will spend the whole of the time just doing our walk through the Bible. It was brilliant. So maybe next time the rest of you might join in and fancy it with us. I'm just going to pray. Is that all right? Can we just take a moment to just pray just before I start? Father God, I just want to thank you for the gift of your word. I thank you yesterday that we dived into the New Testament. But God, I just thank you that we have this. And this morning, as we come to look at what your word says, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. I pray for what I've planned, God. And I just ask that you will just take the words. And God, I pray for each one of us here that we will hear your voice in this morning. I pray that our hearts will be changed. That our ears will just be open to listen and to hear. But Holy Spirit, we invite you here right now, and will you speak to us this morning? Amen. Amen. If you have Bibles or a Bible app on your phone, whichever way you like to read your Bible, we're going to turn to Exodus, going Old Testament today, and we're going to be going to Exodus chapter 17, and I'm going to read in just a moment, so don't bring it up just yet because I'm not quite ready. I just thought I'd give you a quick little bit of background of where we're up to. We're quite early on in Exodus, but where we're picking this story up today is that the Israelites have fled out of Egypt. They've managed to, Pharaoh's let his people go. We've done all the plagues and all of that. And Moses has led the people out of Egypt. We've had the Israelites being pursued by the Egyptians, so they've then gone, no, we're going to come after you. We've had the parting of the sea, and where God made the way for them to come through, and then when the Egyptians followed, the walls came crashing down on them. And God has been guiding the Israelites with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He has provided food for them when they've moaned at Moses, going, we're hungry, we need some food, provided manna and quail. And just at the start of chapter 17 is where we get the story of water from the rock. So they've moaned at Moses about how thirsty they are, and then God's provided them. So a little bit of context of where we're going to pick up our story today. And actually at this point, so all of this has happened so far, so they're quite early on, in a sense, in their journey. And we get to this point where they are attacked by a group of people called the Amalekites. And this is the first attack upon the Israelites since they've come out of Egypt. And it's an unprovoked attack. The Amalekites, little bit of just background, they are descendants of Amalek, who was the grandson of Esau, which if you go right back, you have Jacob and Esau, who is the twin brothers. So these are descendants from Esau. And the Amalekites were a really fierce, nomadic tribe. They would just basically come along, raid settlements. They would just take things. They were quite a fierce bunch. And in fact, in Deuteronomy, it describes this attack a little bit more, so we get a bit of context of what it is. It says in Deuteronomy, don't forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. They had no fear of God. So this is what's happened, okay? They're out in the wilderness, they've come out of the sea, the Red Sea, they've got all their food, and the Amalekites have basically, it's almost like they've come up from behind, they're exhausted, they're weary. And this is where we're picking our story up today. So we're going to read from Exodus 17, from verse 8. It says this: while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, "Write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "They have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation." So, the Amalekites have come up from behind almost, haven't they? They are attacking. Moses sends Joshua, who, if you know the story, further down the line, Joshua takes over after Moses, the leader, gathers the men, and they are the ones fighting. And what does Moses do here? He says, "I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So, true MJ style this morning, we do need a prop. So, I've got, not even sure which one to go for. I actually forgot the prop I really wanted. I left it at home, which is the stick I always use when I do kids' stories and assemblies. And Reese is like nodding at me. Is that because you remember my staff stick look? See, and I'm quite sad that I haven't got my original, the one that I use, but this will do. Okay, we've got a stick, okay, a prop to remind us today. Okay, the staff. First thing I just love here is what Moses calls it. He says the staff of God. He says the staff of God. He doesn't say, "I'm going to hold up my staff. I'm going to hold up God's staff." The staff of God, because he knows already. They're quite early on in their journey, but he knows already, and he has seen that God has used this to do miraculous things. He has used this to do miraculous things. Right back at the beginning, in Exodus 4, is where we get that story, or just before, we get the story of God speaking to Moses in the burning bush. And at the beginning of chapter 4, he says to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And that's when he replies, "A staff, a shepherd's staff. What is that in your hand?" And he goes on from that point. He says, "Throw it on the ground." Turns into a snake. He uses the staff for the Nile, doesn't he? One of the plagues. He says, put the staff in the Nile, in the river Nile, would turn to blood. When they face the Red Sea, what does he do? Puts the staff in the sea. He says, "Go, do it." Whew, the walls go. I don't think it was quite as quick as that. I don't know what it would be like. It would have been pretty cool. And just before this moment, he uses the staff for the water from the rock. He says, "Get your staff, strike the rock." The water comes. So Moses already has seen God do amazing things with what is in his hand. And this is not my main point today, but this is just a point I want to throw out there. What is in your hand? This is kind of like an aside to what I really want to get on today, but I really feel I need to mention it this morning. What is in your hand? And even dare I say, not the person sat next to you. Don't worry about what's in their hand. Worry about what's in your hand. What's God given you? An ordinary staff. Do you know what? I love that as well. just ordinary things that are in our hands. God wants to use whatever is in your hand to do miraculous things. God wants to use what's in your hand to show his power. God wants to use what's in your hand for his glory, because every point, it was about his glory. God did the parting of the sea. Not Moses, not the staff. It was God. So what's in your hand this morning? So we've got Moses, and he sends Joshua to go and fight. And Moses says, right, I'm going to position myself with the staff. So I haven't got enough hands. So I have already roped in my son, Ethan. Would you come and just help me? Because you guys all know me by now. I love a bit of visual. It always helps me. So can you hold the staff, okay? You got this. Okay, just stand still for one moment first. Okay, you could be there a while, so just that's it, brilliant. Okay, just hold it up for me. Okay, so here is Moses. He's like, I'm holding the staff, I'm raising it up. The staff of God is what he's raising up, okay. And interestingly, what happens is that sometimes his hands would just lower and just dip a bit. And we read, don't we, that every time his arms are up straight and it's raised, the Israelites are winning. But every time they kind of dip a bit, the Amalekites are winning, okay? So there's this going on, okay? This is happening. You're doing good. Now, here is Moses. The battle's going on. And you might be there going, well, why is he holding it in the air? What's he doing? Do you know, it doesn't really say what he's doing other than raising it, but I reckon he was praying. Do you know, I reckon he was praying. This was him going, God, I know, because I've seen you do it, I know that you can move here, okay? He is praying. I reckon he is interceding. I reckon he's calling out to God and just praying over this battle that is going on below. I reckon that's what he's doing. He is interceding on behalf, because he knows and he's seen what his God can do. So he's calling out to his God, going, okay, God, you've got to do this. But naturally, that is tiring, isn't it? Are you getting tired yet already? This is how we see how strong Ethan is. But you know, his arms kept dipping. His arms kept dipping. And do you know what I kind of, as I was reading this, I actually quite like that, because it shows he was ordinary. He was getting a bit tired. And let's also remember here, Moses, he was 80. I don't know whether by this point, how long the time, I'm not very good with knowing the time, maybe he was 81, 82, I don't know, but you know, he's getting older. Sorry, if you're in your 80s, don't want to. But he's, like, reality. Even I know that Ethan's probably got more strength than me. I'm 40. Gosh, another 40 years. I don't know. But I kind of love this reminder that Moses was an ordinary man. And even in that, God, doesn't he do it all through the Bible, uses ordinary people. You and me, we're just ordinary people, just like Moses. Moses got a bit tired and his arms would drip. We get tired. I get tired. Anyone else get tired? You know, we are ordinary people. And I kind of love this point, because actually, well, it's the full story, isn't it? That actually, it shows that it wasn't about Moses, and he couldn't do this all on his own. And how many times do we think, I've got to have the strength, and I have got to hold this staff up myself, all by myself. I've got to do this. And we put that on ourselves, and I just this morning want to release us from that and say, we're ordinary. You don't have to hold the staff and have it all there, arm straight, all the time. I feel like that some of us need to hear that this morning. Some of us need to be reminded. So there he is, dipping, dropping. You know, and I love this. It shows us, you know, something's going on here. The power of the prayer, that when he's praying and calling out and the arms raised, they're winning. When it's dipping, they're losing, or the Amalekites are winning. And then it says this point. So verse 12. Moses' arm soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So tired he could no longer hold them up. In the King James Version, it says, Moses' hands were heavy. I quite like the way it describes that. His hands were heavy. He had held them up in this position of intercession, in this position of prayer, but now, God, they've grown heavy. I wonder how many of us can relate to that. How many of us have been holding that staff, praying, intercessing, day after day? Maybe you've been praying over a battle year after year after year, and you're going, my hands are heavy from this. My hands are tired. I wonder if any of us can just relate to that this morning. Maybe you yourself are in that place right now where you're going, I don't know if I can pray for this anymore. My hands are weary from praying because I've just been there for such a long time. And you might be there going, do you know what, it's a bit hard and I just want to put the staff down and just have a break from this. I even wonder whether maybe, I wonder how many of us, you know how it just kind of gradually slips. Maybe almost without realizing your hands have slipped, and almost it's like the staff has just kind of slipped out of your hands and you suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute. I was praying for that and now I've stopped, almost without realizing. I think that can happen sometimes without realizing. I know myself, I'm thinking, hang on a minute. I'd made a thing about praying over that, and I've just stopped. You can pick it back up, there's no rest yet. Moses' hands were weary. And you know, I just this morning want to go, that's the reality though, isn't it? Because praying is hard work. And I'm saying this today, not to put you off, but actually to encourage you, if you're sat there going, God, this is hard praying over this, to go, yeah, it is. It is hard. There are some things that take more than one prayer. I think Gareth last week talked about that. It's not just a prayed for it, done, brilliant, job done, fixed. Sometimes it takes prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer, and we've got to keep on praying, keep that staff up. Do you know, in Colossians, I'm going to quickly jump, I haven't marked it, I'm going to see if I can quickly find it. In Colossians, let me just, give me a moment, I'm finding it. There we go. Colossians 4 says this. Paul writes, Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you. And a bit further down it says, I can assure you that he prays hard for you. And in other versions it talks about laboring earnestly in prayer. Like, at the same time, this is what it is. This is what it's about. And actually, we need to be praying earnestly, praying hard, laboring in prayer over different things, the battles, the breakthroughs, the strongholds, all these things that we've been talking about over the last couple of months. This is what we're talking about. And you know what? It is hard. And you might be sat there just going, oh, my hands are weary. I feel like Moses. And that's why I love this story of what comes next. Are your hands starting to feel weary? I think they are. Because I love, he's like, yeah. Aaron and Hur, they do two things. They find a stone for him to sit on. Do we need to get you two friends to find you a stone? Have I got two friends that might come and help? Look, they're there. They don't even need, look. Oh no. Caleb, up you come. Reese, do you want to be a friend? No, he doesn't want to be a friend today. Can I have someone else who might help be Ethan's friend today? Oh, look, where's some volunteer? Anyone? Edie, fabulous, come up. Okay, thank you, Edie. Edie Caleb. Now, we don't have I'm sorry with my props. I should have brought like a big boulder or something. Haven't got that. But we have got, we need a chair. Do you think you guys could find a chair? There's one even just there. Find a chair for Ethan to sit on. They found him a stone to sit on. Go on then, put it behind him. And then the second thing they did is it says that they stood holding his hands up. So do you think you guys could just prop him up a little bit and just help him to, oh, does that feel better already? Yeah, he's like, yeah. I love that picture. Isn't that a great picture? Aaron and Hur, do you know they were needed to be there that day? They were just as important. Do you know, we talk so much, don't we, here at Hub of doing life together and that we need each other. And I'm going to say it again. We need Aaron and Hers who are going to do just this. I love that in a sense what they're doing is they're getting alongside him. I love that word, getting alongside. We as church are to get alongside each other. And I know that some of us do that brilliantly, and that's great, but I think we have to just, do you know what? We will never reach there, will we? So we just keep going on. Come on, I want us to be even better at this. We've got to get even better. And there's some of you might sat there thinking, oh, actually, I don't have any Aaron and Hers. Well, come on, find. Who's your Aaron? Who's your Her? And dare I even say, maybe you could look around. Who's the person that's praying and you can see that their hands are getting weary? Don't wait to be asked. Don't actually wait. Just go and see them. If you can see that someone is going, do you know what, I'm tired. Oh, just get alongside them. I go, come on, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Do you know what I love? I love here that there's kind of a practical element. I kind of love, I've kind of got fixated on this, how they found a stone. Like they made him comfortable. They're like, come on, you're tired. Let's get you a stone. And I kind of just in this moment think, that's almost like a physical need, isn't it? They helped and got alongside in that physical sense. And then in lifting up the hands, it was almost like that was the spiritual support. Like there's two different things here. And I want to say, let's be people that get alongside in that physical. How can you help someone? What's the stone that you're going to get for them? It might not be literally a stone, but it might be you need to cook them a meal and just give them a meal. It might be you go, I'm going to look after your kids a bit. Oh yeah, well, I'll take you to that appointment you need to go to. That physical need. Find the stone, whatever that might be. That's how we can support each other. And then they're here, aren't they, lifting up. Now, again, it doesn't really say, but I reckon they joined in prayer as well. I really do reckon that Aaron and Hur were there, just going, we're going to join in with Moses. They got alongside him in prayer. And, you know, as they were doing that, as they're holding him, his hands were strengthened. His hands were supported. His hands were held up. This posture of prayer was maintained. His load would have felt lighter. He was sustained. God, that we can do that for each other, that as we get alongside each other, that's what we do for each other. We strengthen each other. We almost give a new lease of life to each other to go, yeah, come on, I can pray over this. I am going to keep praying over this battle. It kind of revives us. It supports us, helps us. It helps us to remain that posture of prayer. This picture, I think, is just such an incredible one. This is church. This is how we do the bit I talked about before, being a body, one, by doing this. If you're there going, I am so weary from praying. I cannot hold this anymore. God, find someone. Find an heir and find a her and go, do you know, can you help me? Can you get alongside me? And do you know what? We can encourage each other. Pray for that person. Pray with them. Message them. Send them Bible verses. Buy them a card to say, remember this. This is what God says. Whatever way it might be to help keep their hands raised. Guys, you've done amazing. Can we give them a clap? Because they've done amazing. I'm going to let you guys sit down. Thank you. I'm going to let them have a rest. Because we're going to look at what the last bit then says. I want to go back. So, they supported him. What was the result? They won. I love it because it says, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Quite like that word, overwhelmed. It wasn't just, they just did it by scrimping. Oh my word, they overwhelmed them. Let's read again what it then says at the end. Verse 14, after the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. Yahweh Nisi, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Do you know this is the only place in the Bible where it mentions this name? Do you know Moses, as he held up that staff, it was like he was holding up a flag like the soldiers would. You might have heard about this before, where in battles, I'm not so up on this knowledge, but I've been doing some Googling, there would be a soldier who would hold a flag, and that flag would have some kind of emblem. It might be their country, it could be whatever it is, to show who they are, you know, who they belong to show their unit, to show their country. And that soldier would hold that flag, and that flag was, this is who we're fighting for. This is who we're fighting under. And their job was literally to hold that flag. Cool, their arms would have ached, wouldn't they? And it even said that if then soldiers got separated, they could look around, they could see the flag, and it meant then they could get back to the flag, and they could almost rally together under that flag. Do you know Moses? That's what he was doing. When he was holding up that staff, he was holding up the flag with the symbol of God on it, wasn't he? Do you know, I love that he said, the Lord is my banner. He knew that it was God that won that battle. He didn't say, Moses is my banner because I had that staff. He didn't say, Joshua is my banner because he led the army. He didn't say, Israel is my banner. He said, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. Do you know what a declaration that is? The Lord is my banner. The Lord is who I belong to. I'm part of that unit. I'm fighting on his side. That's who I belong to. I love that picture of just where the soldiers can then rally under the flag. The Lord is who I rally under. Maybe today you're like one of those soldiers that might be wandering off over here and you've kind of lost your way a bit. Come and rally under him this morning. Come and rally under the Lord who is my banner. Because he is the one. He will bring the victory. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Do you know, I'm going to ask, maybe Ian, you could come and start playing. Because I'm kind of going to wrap this up. And I'll be honest, the last few days I've been going, I don't know how to wrap it up. Dave was really helpful this morning and said, Christmas paper, birthday paper. Ian even said a bow. Like, yeah. Very helpful. But I know that we need to respond to this morning. Do you know, in our week of prayer, we were praying for breakthrough over things. And maybe in that week, you were like, yes, oh, I'm Moses. I'm going to raise my staff. I'm going to pray over this. I'm going to pray over this. And then maybe, oh, it's not the prayer week anymore, and my hands dropped, and I've kind of let it slip. We need to be doing this. Maybe this morning when I've talked about Moses' hands being weary, maybe you're there going, yeah, I am so tired. You're feeling like, God, I can't pray anymore for this. I've prayed for so long. Maybe right now there's a battle going on. And you need to actually hold up the flag of the Lord is my banner. Isn't that a great declaration? To go, yes, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. In a moment, we're going to sing a great song. The battle belongs. Because when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh Lord, the battle belongs to you. But I just wonder right now, because one of the things I've just been sent to the last couple of days is that we kind of say stuff and we go, yeah, this is what we've got to do. And then we go home, and then actually you might go, oh, I now need to do that. But I want to invite us to have time now to do it now, to actually pray, to actually take time to maybe pray for the battle that's fighting before us. And so before we sing, and guys, you can sort of feel free to play, and I wonder whether maybe if you're feeling like, actually, I need to declare this morning, the Lord is my banner, you might want to stand. And just do that. And you can do that now. And you know what? I even... okay, I've been having a little wrestle with God. I'm not a big rah, rah, rah person of like, yeah, shout it out. Maybe when I'm with kids. But I've just, as we've been worshipping this morning, had this sense of wanting to shout. And as I stand here, I want to shout, and I just want to say, let's do this as church. Maybe you want to shout that now. Can I say, shout it? Shout it over whatever it is. Shout it and declare it over your battle. Yes, the Lord is my banner. Lord, you are our banner as a church. Together, we are raising our staff, whatever battles. Whatever it is that you are fighting, whatever it is, maybe you're seeing someone and you're praying over their battle, their breakthrough. Oh, just lift up your voices now and let's just pray. Just take this time now, whatever that is, to pray. Maybe even right now you want to go and get someone and say, will you come and pray with me? Do you know that's bold, but just do it. If there's someone next to you, just say, will you pray over this? But let's just take a moment before we sing, just pray. Just pray, just call out to God over the battle, whatever it is. Let's just pray, God, Lord is my banner.